Can we turn, please, to Micah chapter 2? And the last two verses of that chapter. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. Now, in the previous part of this chapter in Micah, Micah the prophet has been preaching about woe to evildoers. He's been teaching about not listening to the lying prophets and what will happen to them. But in these last two verses of chapter 2, Micah turned, if you like, from the stress of sin and of punishment to the deliverance of Israel and the gathering of the remnant together. And in these two verses is a wonderful promise of mercy. We come now to hear two verses of hope. And Micah is speaking words of preservation. And it's written in the first person. I will surely assemble. This is a direct address via Micah from Yahweh himself. And gathering in safety is what's in mind here. I will surely gather. Yes, it is a certain hope, although it will be a distant one. Ever since the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up to glory in the beginning of the book of Acts, people have speculated when he's coming back again. The only thing we know for sure is he is coming back again. But it started soon afterwards. And it carries on today. Many people tell me we're in the last days. Well, of course we're in the last days. The last days started when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to glory. And the last days will end when he comes again. But I imagine if you were involved in the Reformation, being tortured for your faith, would you not think you were in the last days? If you were being thrown to the lions in Rome, would you not think you were in the last days? And so many people today think his coming is soon. Well, it may be, but no one knows. We continue to believe in a distant hope of truth that he will come again. But for most of us here, perhaps, he'll take us home before then. Although he could come this afternoon. And when he talks in that verse there about Jacob, Jacob refers, of course, to the 12 tribes of Israel. But again, of all those, only the remnant. There is only a remnant that will be saved, as is so true today. This church was full on Friday. Where are they today? You see, the hope that the Christian has, the hope that we can glean here from Micah, is a selective hope. It's not for everyone. It's for a remnant. Restricted. Only the Lord's people will one day go to be with the Lord. But it gives us an indication, doesn't it, what this gathering will look like. I will put them together like sheep of the fold. In the midst of their pasture. They are secure. These sheep are secure, it would seem, in the middle of the pasture. They shall make a loud noise. And it's true, is it not? We believe and trust that the remnant, although selective, will still be a great sizable number. And they shall make a loud noise because of so many people. Great noise of joy at their return. In verse 12, where it talks about, I will put them together like sheep of the fold, there was also the word Bozra, which is found in the Authorized Version. And Bozra, apparently, was a city in northern Edom. It had a reputation for luxurious pasture. So you can see when they talk about in the midst of their pasture, they're in the very best pasture possible. And this, of course, is a promise of restoration of Israel from captivity. Remember, Micah is preaching in the days of Hezekiah. And of course it would be some 200 odd years before Nebuchadnezzar took the people into captivity. But God is doing restoration when judgment has done its work. And he's just comparing it here with a flock of sheep rushing into the fold. There is the pasture. And sheep have hooves or feet. They're running. They make a noise. As I say, many people take this verse as a promise to Israel of the coming Messiah. And many, many Christians would say it's been partially fulfilled. People that were once despised shall be brought together again. And the remnant, which I trust we are of, they are designed, reserved, if you like, for salvation. Today, all the children of God are united under one true shepherd. And of course, that true shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no allegiance to church leaders. We are children of God. We have a Father in heaven. And we have one true shepherd. Now, when we come to verse 13, it goes into the third person. If you like, it's an explanation from the prophet Micah. And he's basically saying, liberation. Liberation from confinement. Yesterday was the 82nd anniversary of D-Day. One or two still go there who are very elderly and frail. And yet many people still remember their sacrifice. And why did they go? And what did people talk about in France? Liberation. Liberation from tyranny. From the Germans occupying. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ do to us, his people, today? He liberates us. Think what he's liberated you from. Worry. Stress. Hopelessness. Hell. Judgment. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So many people out there think they're free, but they're trapped. Trapped in wrong relationships. Trapped in drug habits, alcohol, unbelief, apathy. What a tragic situation. And what a blessing it is to be a Christian in today's world. And he promises a liberating hope. Did you not have that when you got saved? When the Lord delivered us from all sorts of things. What a blessed day that was. To be set free. To be set free. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They call him the breaker. And he goes before them. They break out and they pass through the gate. Now what it actually means, the breaking, it actually means Lord of bursting out. Can you imagine the joy? Can you look back to the day of that joy when the Lord revealed himself to you? When suddenly you realised you were his. It's speaking as though there are massive torrents of water levels all along the way. And this breaker, he smashes whatever holds or confines or imprisons his people. Today there are many Christians in prison because of their faith. We could list country after country. Today there are Christians taken by the police for prayer. And this is in Britain, of course. The land of the free. Christians have been told in certain places, you mustn't preach about hell or judgment. That upsets people. What's it supposed to do? Someone told me years ago, you never preach about hell without tears in your eyes. It's an awesome place. It's an awful place, full of all that the scriptures describe it as. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he saves the man, he saves the woman, he saves the girl, he saves the boy, he delivers them from the clutches of hell. He delivers them from the imprisonment of bad habits, of whatever it may be. Yahweh talks about their king will pass before them. Yahweh is not someone who is an addition to his king. He is their king. And the identity of the breaker is with this king, with Yahweh. And eventually the Messiah will come. And he will liberate. And he will lead his people on. The Lord Jesus Christ has become our leader. He has become our leader because he is the good shepherd. And a good shepherd always leads. What a blessing it is that we have nobody perhaps on earth to turn to. Because no one on earth is perfect. But our good shepherd in glory is absolutely perfect. Someone that we can go to at any time, day or night. And today, of course, there is one fold. Oh, we meet at our different churches, and we have our different rules, we have our different regulations. But being a member of a church has never got anyone to glory. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have brothers and sisters worshipping in other churches in the town today. Throughout this nation. Throughout the world. But we all are one fold. May not be able to speak to some of them because we don't understand their language and they don't understand us. I may have told you before, one meeting that Nicky and I were in a village deep down in the jungle in Malawi. We were there the second day, and in the afternoon they had children's meetings, and in the evening they had the gospel meeting. And while we were stood around while they had the children's meeting, these two ladies, Malawian ladies, came up to us. They both had a water pot balanced on their head. I challenge anyone here to do that. And shook our hands. And they said, very brokenly, we know. And the smile on their faces told it all. These two ladies were believers. They were our sisters in Christ. Couldn't speak to them because they spoke Chichewa. We spoke English. They would have been born, grown up, married, had their children, and die in that one village. Whereas we were travelling the world. They don't know anything about the M25. They don't have roads there anyway. They're tracks. But you know, I've got more in common with those two ladies, spiritually, than I have with some members of my own family. Because they're born again believers in Christ. It's wonderful, isn't it? Have you ever stopped to imagine amazing these things? We get so tied up, don't we, in our own little worlds. We get so tied up with our own little bits and pieces that we have to forget that God has this wide world under his complete, utter control. And everyone in it. And the wonderful thing is, when the Lord does set us free, we never go back into captivity again. They may lock us up here, but they can't take away our faith. They can't take away the scriptures that's locked away in our brains, and the hymns that we can sing through memory. People can't take that away. It's interesting, in the Korean War, some of the prisoners that they took, the Chinese, the ones that survived the brainwashing were those that could quote scripture. Protected them. So important, isn't it? And what a blessing it is to be released from the bondage of sin. Yes, I know we're still sinners. I know we still sin, as the prayer book says, in thought, word and deed, in the things we have done and the things that we have not done. But we also have the gift and grant and blessing of repentance. Each day we come in repentance, don't we, to confess our sins before the Lord, not for each other, for the Lord. And when we deliberately do something wrong, say something, the Holy Spirit kicks in and says, oi, get sorted. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to be released from that bondage. And how we pray for those people that are still in bondage. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the King of his church. He leads us out of our captivity. And he leads us to a land of freedom and liberty in the gospel. Away from the captivity of sin. I'm sure you must know people today who are captive to sin and unbelief. Many of them may live very good, respectable lives. It doesn't mean a thing in the Lord's economy. Whereas you see, we look, do we not, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life. He died as a perfect substitute for sinners like you and I. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And when he said, it is finished, it was. Think of all the pointless religious ritual that's going to go on today. Pete, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper shortly. People will turn it into a circus. Full of blasphemy. Some. Others, it's just something you do every week. But it's not, is it? We remember the shed blood and the body, the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of his people. That's why only believers can take the Lord's Supper. Nothing else is needed. We'll have ordinary bits of bread you can get up the road in Tesco's or Sainsbury's. And the wine, I mean, it can be anything, can it? Blackcurrant juice, grape juice, whatever. It's a symbol. Very precious symbol. But it tells us so much about our Saviour. And isn't it a blessing that as shortly we will take the Lord's Supper? We serve a risen Saviour. A few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. And everyone concentrated on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is our theme? And what is our soul today? The Lord Jesus Christ is risen. Was it 6 weeks ago? I don't think so, do you? The Lord Jesus Christ is risen today. And if any one of us during this day dies, we'll hear those same words. Today you will be with me in paradise. And so as we come to take the supper, we can take it with confidence, not in ourselves, not in lumps of bread and wine, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may that be true for each and every one of us. Amen.